Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those whistling old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
dying here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. That's where you get two different chat rooms you get to talk to simultaneously. It's pretty nifty, man. Anyway, posted a video link in there for status update on my YouTube channel and my, essentially our radio network. I keep saying my, but it's actually for the people. So what I'm tending on doing with my portion of the deal and my friends and everybody, and by the way, we've been joined by Muddy and Justin on Skype, and I got two awesome cool guys sitting over here. I got Thomas and Raymond. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
They're in the lab.
Woohoo!
Up in the house.
Alright. Wait. I'm mad.
Yeah, well, you should have, like, jumped in your vehicle and merged into traffic and rolled on down over here, man.
They should have told me. I'd have left. I didn't do nothing the last few days.
Oh. Alright, well, we're going to be doing this quite frequently. I'm pretty much going to probably be doing a little traveling myself. I think I might get to see Texas and, what, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Alright, so, anyway, the good news is that we got some tools together, we got some materials and some technology, and we're actually going to start putting some projects together to take all the anomalies that we have researched up and learned throughout the time that we were studying alternative energy. So we're going from showing you anomalies to give you ideas to actually showing you actual working prototypes and different things to, basically prove what it is we've been saying all along. So, essentially, I'm kicking it into high gear and I'm going for broke on this deal. So, pretty soon you'll understand exactly why it is that I've done my YouTube channel the way that I've done it, and the reason why I do this network the way that I've done it. If you look back into history and see some of the things that have occurred throughout history with other inventors and researchers, you might get a general idea why it is partially that I do what it is that I do, the way that I do it. Because sometimes people don't want you to point things out, so to speak. Sometimes people don't want you to... what's the words I'm looking for, guys?
What's that?
You guys are having a conversation in the background. It's like really distracting.
We're conspiring, man.
They're conspiring.
We're planning to see how people would react if we try to set up an energy convention in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
That's a good plan.
And I'll make a special trip up there, see if we can find a city park or something out in the open where we could have it.
See, that's what happens when you get brilliant minds together. Now, we're actually going to show you on at least a small scale of what we've been trying to talk to you about, and networking and actually putting things together using all the different basic science, basic physics, and all the anomalies that we've been pointing out throughout the deal. We're talking about different types of materials that have capabilities of doing certain things. And I even want to talk about a link that Justin posted here, because where the guy is doing this video called, what's it called, that a resonator, Justin?
Good. Yeah.
All right, well, he's saying it keeps picking up smog, but essentially what he's done is actually made a battery with a magnet and a spring and a piece of metal and some dielectric, what's the other word I'm looking for? Doggone it. The stuff inside of a battery.
Electrolyte.
I don't know why my brain just stopped. Anyway, essentially you made a battery. And it is a pretty impressive battery for what he did right there. I actually duplicated that in a video that I called Magnet Battery. So if you want to see how I believe that he's accomplished what he did, take a look at that one I called Magnet Battery, and you'll understand what it is that I'm saying. But his is pretty impressive. And, you know, whether it's he's trying to show it, make everybody believe it's free energy or whatever, is no consequence to me, because what I saw with that particular video that he did, and this is how I view all these videos like that. By him using that insulator between the magnet and the spring there, he basically created a battery. But the material that he used under there, I would really like to know what type of material he used between there as his electrolyte, because he was getting some pretty substantial voltage out of it. So even in the process of potentially trying to, what's the word I want to say? I'm not wanting to say lie or fake. mislead people into thinking it was like free energy device. He ended up creating a pretty good electrolyte for a battery. So it would be pretty impressive to actually see that particular material that he used in his video basically used to make more batteries, better batteries, stronger batteries.
I'm not sure, but it sounds to me like it would be really close to what we need for storing static electricity.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And, you know, the possibilities of it actually being able to be rechargeable or whatever.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Static electricity is everywhere. Everywhere. And if you could just find a way to collect it and store it, duh.
Yeah. And
possibilities would be limitless.
One of the things that Robert Murray Smith, I called him Smurry. He's probably going to beat me up if he ever sees me. Robert Murray Smith has been working on some hemp batteries. And so we were also talking about, me and Thomas and Raymond actually had a conversation recently about different materials and what they're good for and, you know, different ways to coat stuff, like this little bottle they brought over, which is a material that's hydrophobic. You can spray it on something and water will just repel away from it.
And it's oilophobic.
Yeah, it's oilophobic too. So, you know, these chemicals and these ideas and these anomalies put all together, the pieces of the puzzle, I'm telling you, we actually have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to build the perfect generator. I know what needs to be done. Now it's just a question of us doing it. And so, you know, with tools and technology such as 3D printers and CNC machines and plasma cutters and all
laser
the other
cutters.
The what cutter?
Laser burner.
Oh, laser cutters and all the different things that we've actually gathered up together, we're going to be able to build a few things and get some things accomplished. We're going to build gizmos that have to do with all these different anomalies that we've been pointing out and using physics to our advantage. You know, I keep saying that if you don't want to invoke Lenz's law, then we know what causes Lenz's law to be invoked, then you work your way around it, such as changing that energy like I've been explaining and pulling it off the generator and moving it into a completely different fashion. So Raymond came all the way in from Texas, and Thomas came in from Oklahoma, and eventually we're going to get a place together to where we can actually have people, more people come from different places, going back and forth to each other's labs and doing Skype and some live video streams, just kind of adding to the deal to build this up to the point where we've actually got physical.
Thomas and I both brought in a truckload each of stuff to work on. I'll go along with your two truckloads of shit.
Well, you just said it, but say it louder.
Thomas and I, when we came, each of us brought a truckload of stuff to work on, which is his, along with his two or three truckloads of stuff he's already got here. So we plan on some pretty exciting experiments this week and make some videos. Thomas brought in a video camera. I've already in four. Shaziz has already got two. We've got tripods. We're going to set these cameras up and take videos from all different angles and put them together and make a series of videos of different experiments we're going to be working on. We're going to be trying to work on some static electricity. We're going to be working with laser burners and CNC machines. We've got a CNC machine that Thomas built that is accurate to within 1/10,000th of an inch. And we're going to hook the laser up to that, burning laser, and try different experiments with that. We've got some pretty exciting experiments going on this week, so I think the listeners are going to be real excited about the videos we're going to make this week.
Yeah, and if a certain few things happen in time and I can actually get things rearranged, we're actually going to have this building that we're in right now as a full-time laboratory that we'll actually be able to, it's got five separate bedrooms, two bathrooms, and so we would be able to invite researchers from all over the place to come over here and actually stay here and work with other researchers. And so with that said, that's a kind of a glimpse into the future of what we're actually going to try to accomplish. If we can succeed in this, we're also going to build a large geodesic dome out on the property. And from start to finish, it's going to be a completely self-contained, basically a biosphere. It's going to have its own heating, own electrical, and own water supply and everything. And so when it's all said and done, we'll be able to show people video, step-by-step, stage through all this stuff here where they can, take these ideas and run with them, expand on them. We're going to do some live streaming Google Hangouts, and we're going to go for broke. That's essentially what we wanted to bring about on this show today. So I'm throwing an invitation out there to all the researchers that we talked to and talked about. If you know any researchers out there, I'm throwing an invitation out there for you to join in on this process. It's, we're not about trying to get rich or anything like that. And basically, they're trying to drag me kicking and screaming into trying to accept donations of some sort.
Just to get funding to do things instead of, taking forever to do it the hard way.
What I would like to do is,
if people are willing to help,
if people out there are willing to help, I've already started my donation. Is I'm putting up the money to pay the round trip transportation for any 18 or year old or younger person that shows potential to come to and visit the med science team for 2 weeks to a month out of the year, and I will totally finance them completely. That's my contribution. Anybody else who wants to contribute to med science and betterment of the world and experiments, please contribute. And trust me, I will be sure. I will personally see to it that every penny that's donated goes to the med science projects. No personal expenditures whatsoever. All personal expenditures I will cover. So,
well, that's a whole lot of faith in what it is commitment. We've been talking about, a lot of commitment, and it's over appreciated, what more than appreciated by for everybody's even the people posting links in the chat room. I'd like to see this chat room overloaded to the extent where we actually have to go out and get a better chat room.
The first teenager that we're bringing in is named Jermaine Fishwick from the Netherlands. He's scheduled to come in late June, early July, and stay for 1 or 2 months with us. And we've already worked it out. I've talked to his parents. They were very excited about coming here, and everything. Everybody's going to benefit. And I think the listeners out there are going to benefit by going and seeing some of the videos we're going to make when he's here. And we're going to let him more or less supervise in some of the experiments he's already done and redo them here on camera, so that we can put them on YouTube and the listeners can see exactly what's going on and how we want to try to get our young people involved. And
yep.
That's why I say 18 years old or younger, if you've got experiments that you're working on, make sure that we get links to your videos on YouTube so that we can look at it. And we're going to try very hard to bring one or two per year to meet the mad science team for a month or 2 months, whatever they can stay without interfering with their schooling.
And we'll also be able to live stream Skype for folks that can't get here. So basically, we're going to turn virtual labs into a reality in real time, and that's the ultimate goal. So, Muddy, you got any thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, I can't wait till Jermaine Fishwick comes down, because that boy is amazing.
Oh, yes, he's brilliant. He's brilliant.
Yes. He's amazing. Now, he's all the way in Holland, and Boom Boom is bringing him here. So, yeah, when he gets down here, that's going to be one busy teenager.
Yes, it is. I'm going to see to that.
Well, I'm extending an open invitation for people to come up here and get on the microphone, talk with us, and share ideas, get in the chat rooms out there, and you can support us by simply, passing around podcasts or, showing people the site. Tell them what it is that we're actually working on. And check out Muddy's YouTube channel over there. What's the name of your YouTube channel again, Muddy?
Muddy Mud Man. It's Green Wind and Other Home Energies. But if you're searching for it, it's you know, it's the www.youtube.com/user/Muddy Mud Man.
All right. Let me clarify something here, Scott. A lot of people, I've said this before, when you look up Scott Brown on YouTube and you type in the Muddy Muddy Mud Man, you're not going to get it because it's not the. It's just Muddy Muddy Mud Man. But here's another little trick. Man is spelled with two N's. Okay?
Right.
So if you're looking up Muddy Muddy Mud Man, leave off the Z and put an extra N on man.
Well, here's a short way that you can do this for folks out there listening in on different devices out there that don't have access to the chat room when you get homes on your old PCs. Just go ahead and post your YouTube links inside of Shaziz Radio in the chat room. That way people can find them whenever they get home or whatever.
Yeah, Thomas just pointed out that one aspect of Muddy Muddy Mud Man that I didn't say is all one word, okay? And trust me, folks, you need to look him up on YouTube because the man has some of the most amazing videos I've ever seen. The whole series of videos on each thing, and the thing is, he goes into detail far more than any high school teacher or college professor. And they're so easy to understand. Some of his videos, they're about complicated things, like, for example, turning a ceiling fan into a PMA, permanent magnet alternator. The man goes into so much detail, an intelligent 8-year-old or 10-year-old kid could actually follow his videos and build one of these things. I'm serious. That's how much detail and how well he presents his knowledge. The man is amazing. He should have been a college professor.
So...
I call it first grade level at an accelerated pace.
There you go.
Even though I'm long-winded, but you know, I don't want to skip any detail. My idea is, after I make the video, if I got questions, that's my education on how to make videos. If there's a question, then I skip something. So that's my practice. Don't be shy on the comments.
So essentially, what we're trying to do here, folks, is show you the power that the people can actually have whenever they want to utilize it, as far as networking and bringing these brilliant minds together. So on a small scale, we'll start it off like this and we'll just see how far we can grow it. And we're going to take this, I'm personally going to go for broke to make sure that people understand what it is that I'm talking about. Justin, do you got a YouTube channel or Google Plus or something like that?
Just Google Plus. I don't do videos. I do personal videos, but I don't like advocating videos.
Yeah.
I stay away from YouTube.
All right, well,
Hey, this is?
Yeah.
Stuart's trying to listen in on the show, and he says the same thing that we've had there. Radio Tuna's giving him a hard time because it's got that Adobe thing in there. You said you had another link for people to listen to. If you pop that in there, I'll transfer that to them.
Well, yeah, if you jump over to the Super Chat HTML, hold on, I'll just I'll pass the link over for Radio HTML. If you go to www.shazizradio.com and go to radio.html, let's see here. Let me hold on here. This is terrible for live radio.
What's that?
All right, so try that link there. See if you can get that one on there.
Sounds great.
Yep.
www.shazizradio.com/capital. Radio.
No, there's no capitals to it. I just accidentally typed it in. I hit the capital button.
Radio.html.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyway, let me know if he was able to hear in on that. It should function for him. Otherwise, you can go out there on... let me see here.
Yeah, I'm very, very formal. I like to put everything in writing.
You can go to TuneIn, you can go to Radio Purvey, Radio Royd, Famil Radio, Streama, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Opti Radio, Radio Forest, Radio Tune is acting the fool, so we're going to figure out what's going on with that.
All the jokes.
So there's a few other options you can actually get to the show. Just Google Shaziz Radio and they'll come up. Pick the one that you like.
Oh, just a little note, man. I got tired of dragging solar panels around and having to hook up the solar charge controller. So I mounted my solar charge controller on the back of one of my... Oh, I'm here myself. I thought somebody else was trying to talk. So I mounted a charge controller on the back of one of my solar panels. And now all I can do is hook up two wires. I think that's pretty cool.
Cool. Alright, well, if you want to check out my YouTube channel, there's links at shazizradio.com, or you can just Google S-H-A-Z-I-Z-Z and you'll find YouTube channel links, Facebook links, Twitter, all that kind of jazz. So anyway, that's pretty much what we're working on right now. We actually got some brilliant minds up in the house. We got some tools ready. We're going to do some nifty projects and hopefully come out of here with some cool stuff to share with everybody. And in the future, just keep the ball rolling. And we got all kinds of different ideas that we want to work on. Plenty of projects. Plenty of irons in the fire. Hopefully, we're going to be able to also pick up some recycled materials here and there to essentially show also that you can do a lot of what we're talking about with recycled materials and a little bit of knowledge of basic science and some manufacturing stuff, and just show you some processes along the way to get you motivated into believing that you can do it. All of you have capabilities, man. So, anybody got any thoughts? I heard an echo.
Yeah, I was too. I was interrupting myself earlier.
Ah. Alright, so, what do you think, Raymond? You got any thoughts?
Pretty much covered.
Oh, wow. Well, we can't just, like, end the show like that.
Well, I'd like to get back to the young people. Like I said, I'll sponsor at least one, if not two. If the people want to contribute to sponsor other children...
You're going to have to talk up a little bit. You're not hitting the mic.
Okay.
I move closer.
Okay. Well, yeah, pull that bed closer.
Really? I said I agreed or offered to sponsor at least one, if not two, teenagers once a year to come and visit the Mad Science team. If people want to contribute money to sponsor another child... That would be great. I would love to have three or four kids each year come out and visit the Mad Science team and actually perform experiments in their field, what they're really interested in, and redo some of the stuff they've already done. And hopefully, some of us could help them make improvements on it. Because some of these young teenagers have brilliant minds. They just don't have the guidance and the finances to back themselves properly. Like Jermaine, he's winding his own coils and this, that, another, where, you know, he gets dive for the factory made coil. Like this says, the pieces of the puzzle are here. We just have to plug them in together. So if we can get some of these young people together, pool our money, get them what they really need, the proper tools, the proper materials, the proper pieces of the puzzle and help them put it together. Let them do it. I mean, when I say help, I mean be there as guidance. The whole, not actually hands-on.
The whole concept is that we know how the education system is these days, and they don't really teach real science in school anymore, like they used to do back in the day. And so if you find somebody like Jermaine who's shows promise and talent like that, that's something you should inspire that person to try to take it as far as possible. I mean,
bring that person to our attention.
What'd you say? Invest in the future.
Bring that person to our attention.
Yeah.
Invest in the future. Invest in the young people that really want to go places and do things.
So, essentially, if we can inspire the youth to move forward, then that'll be our legacy as far as mad science helping the future of humanity actually start to think outside the box. One of the things that Jermaine did on his, he built some doggone it, what do you call them?
Solenoid motors.
Built some solenoid motors, and
and he's building it out of just scrap stuff he got laying around.
Yeah, recycled stuff. And I was impressed by it because probably 15, 20 years back, I designed a solenoid motor that basically you can see on the Shaziz website. You can go over there to, let me see what page that thing's on. I believe it's in the on the podcast page, but there's a GIF animation of essentially that. It's a solenoid motor. And so with that said, to see that go from a GIF animation into an actual working deal is pretty cool. There's a lot of people out there doing solenoid motors. But what impressed me the most about his was not only was it built with recycled materials, but you could actually physically see torque being generated by this thing as it was running. And so,
the thing is, in building it out of scrap, it has to be so big that we could build it 50 times smaller. We could help it with the right materials and the right tools, the right guidance. We could build it 50 times smaller and have the same amount of torque. Jermaine's dream at this point is to build a solenoid motor that will power a bicycle with a full-grown man on it. And I think that would be absolutely amazing to see a 15-year-old kid do this. Of course, he's going to be 16 when he comes here next summer. But to see a 16-year-old kid build something that would actually power a bicycle with a full 160, 170-pound man on it would be amazing. That a kid could do that. If a kid could do that, what could grown-ups do? What have we done? I mean, what can we do? I think we should help this kid. Invest your money in the future of the young people.
Yep.
That's right. I'll tell you what, trying to do a project, man, and people are saying, hey, hurry up, but we're waiting for the next video, but they don't realize that none of us are actually making a living off of YouTube. Because when YouTube finds out that you're making money for somehow things change, and your money drops again, even though you got the same views or more.
My point is,
you can't count on that.
My point is, I've already committed myself to one teenager, and I'm totally going to, I mean, all of his expenses, coming here, going home, his expenses here, I'm covering every bit of it. What I'd like to see is the other people donate money. Then you don't have to do a lot. You don't have to take full responsibility financially for a young person.
If people put in a dollar, five dollars, ten dollars,
eventually we'll have enough to get a second teenager. And then maybe even a third. And then the people out there that don't know how or they think they don't know how to do the experiments you do, at least you can contribute to help. And you put your 2 cents worth in. Duh. I mean, you know, a lot of people out there want to do something, but they don't know what to do. Well, there's the thing to do. Invest in the future. Invest in our youth. Let's get some really, really super intelligent, smart kids in here and not teach them, but help them learn the way they're learning, but help them with tools, with knowledge, with materials to do the thing they want to do.
Right. Experience.
Experience. Hands-on experience. You can't not beat that.
Well, and with people who already have experience on
me
things,
too. Me being somebody retired, I can spend almost 24 hours a day with any of the kids. Shaziz is retired. He can donate all of his time to these kids. We'll make videos so that people that donate and get these kids here will see exactly who the kids are, what they are, and what they're working on, and take pride in the fact that you were part of it.
If I'm a pass this link on into the chat room right there. Doggone it. My brain just doesn't want to multitask this morning. All right. Somebody already did it, I think.
More coffee.
Too much coffee.
All right. Man. So I pass that link on inside there. And if you kick that open, you'll see it's a GIF animation that actually shows you it's essentially what Jermaine built, a smaller version. I think he's actually got a two-cylinder version on there.
That's what he's working on now.
But we want to inspire people from the youth all the way up to, you know, our age that if we get together and network and pull our resources together, ain't nothing we can't accomplish. See, we got all the pieces of the puzzle. Been saying that forever and a day. Now it's time to actually put these things into actual physical products so that people can, they can see them. You know, and I'm not opposed to people being able to actually take these things and build them for other people and make a few bucks or whatever, you know, to earn a living, because that's what it's all about, you know, taking care of everybody. You know, I just don't want you guys to go out there and, try to buy some all free energy device plan from somebody like Keshi or the lunatics out there that's always trying to scam people. This isn't about scamming people. This is about taking our world into a better state of being, so to speak, as far as, there's people in this world that need stuff. You know, everyone needs to be able to live in comfort. You know, everybody needs fresh water and medicine and stuff. And I think that together we can start a movement that actually bring it to them, you know. We the people doing it. We're not going to rely on nobody else, you know, anymore for anything. But if you want to help out, we'll figure out ways that you can pitch in. One of the best ways you can pitch in for the moment is to actually just tell people about Shaziz Radio. Get them over here. Get them in the chat rooms and talk with them and you know, share ideas. All the anomalies that we've shown, we're going to build devices to prove. When it's all said and done, I guarantee you, before I'm dead, I'm going to prove free energy once and for all.
I just hope I live long enough. You've already proven free energy, daggone it.
That's what you energy free. Have. Somebody proves from Kennedy, next thing you know, they're dead.
Well... That's part of the method to my madness. I'm not going to get dead over this deal.
The thing is, Shaziz, you've already proven that free energy does exist. There is no such thing as energy that is not free. It is the machines, the things that you have to build to collect it and use it.
Right. You're just basically looking on putting together the path to get to it.
Right.
Yep.
The wind blows free.
And make sure there's a
it's free
well-documented
energy,
layout.
But you have to build a turbine to collect it. You have to build a sail and put it on your boat to use it. It's free.
What I want to define for the world, Edison had DC power. Tesla come across with AC power. And I want to show people how to use energy in a completely different fashion than we're accustomed to as far as our understanding of electricity. I say crazy things out there like I do not care about current watts and amps. And I started a war doing that once.
Yeah.
But,
once?
Yeah, well, maybe once or twice. But regardless, hey, I like that idea. Stephen Gibbons just typed in the chat room, start a Tesla boot camp where they pay a small fee to attend for a summer holiday. That sounds awesome.
Yes, it does.
And
hey, yes, that would be fantastic. And then people could donate money for the kids that couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And I will personally see to it that not one penny is used for anything but that. You specify what you want your donation to go to. I will set up separate accounts, and it will go into that amount. And once every quarter, I will do a complete report on YouTube. Show everybody exactly who donated, not necessarily who donated, but how much was donated, on what days, and where the money went.
I'd leave the option open if they want to be known or not.
Yeah,
give them the option to check a little box there. Exactly. I want to be anonymous.
If you
want
to be known, you check the box to be known, and you will be known for your donation.
I don't want to turn us into like a corporate kind of scenario, but you know, I wouldn't be opposed to if your business wanted to pitch in some supplies or something to help any researcher out there.
Oh, fantastic idea, Shaziz.
Don't care what researcher out there, as long as they're working on alternative energy or something to benefit humanity. And
they're honest.
Yeah, and they're honest about as long as, just let us know, and we'll throw your name out there on the show every time we get on here.
You know who we need to talk to?
Who's that?
Mark Manzi. Get a complete list of how he goes about doing 90% of the investigation he does.
Yeah.
Because, there's people that may be working on an alternative energy device that they want to sell it, but they want some help getting to that point to make sure that they're not full of shenanigans. We get everything set up so that, you know, they've got a non-disclosure agreement and everything that's signed between the testers and the inventor. That way we can verify and reveal that, A, it's not fraud, and set up the funding to help them out. So they can get to that point where they can bring it to the market, because even if you're selling the technology, you're still benefiting. You're still helping the entire community with that technology.
So I just want to make sure that when I say something, I'm a man of my word, and I'll do everything I can possibly do to keep my word. And so when I say free energy, I mean free energy. I'm not going to ask you for nothing. You know, if you got some old copper wire or old appliance and you ain't going to use it anyway, getting ready to throw it out to the curb, if I can afford the shipping, I'll have you send it to me, you know.
If you're a manufacturer of something electronic that we could possibly use for teaching young people, and you've got an item that's in the manufacturer, it's blemished, but it still works, don't just throw it away. Donate it to us so that we can help use it to help young people, and we can advertise your company for you, that so-and-so donated this, that, and other, and look what this young person is doing with it.
Yeah, we'll post your businesses on the website and on the YouTubes, and just basically try to help you get some customers over your way just for trying to, you know, help out any researcher out there, because this is that important, folks.
Well, and let people know that they're actually helping give back to the community too.
Yeah. We've been told for years and years that our world is, essentially polluted, and environment problems and trouble. And so,
capital T.
With that said, they posted the need. And so guys like us, we came to the rescue. Well, what we found out in the process, that some of the need wasn't really the truth, but hey, you know, as long as they're going to keep on saying there's a global warming issue and we need clean, renewable energies or whatever.
There are other reasons why we need cheaper and easier to renew energy anyway, so.
Well, yeah, for one, to benefit, you know, countries that can't necessarily afford, you know, massive power grids. We can build on-site, pumping systems for them or generating systems. This is not beyond the realms of possibility what we're talking about here, because energy's free. It's out there all over the place. There's thermal vents all over this planet that could be tapped into.
Yeah,
there's static electricity, hydroelectricity, thermal electricity of all different types. And so with guys like Thomas, the knowledge that he's got in chemistry combined with all the different knowledge that we've all together gathered, we can solve all these issues. But as far as I'm concerned, already solved. It's just a matter of doing it now.
There's an old saying that Thomas has changed slightly, but it means the same thing. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. When life gives you crap, compost it and plant seeds.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there isn't such a thing as a bad thing or a good thing. It's how you look at it and what you do with it.
So,
Thomas is my personal genius.
T together we got the tools, together we got the technology, and together we're going to move this thing forward. We're going to start off on a small scale and expand it as far out as we got, as we can go. And so we want people coming from all different nations. Justin, you're in Canada. Would you be opposed to maybe rolling down here sometime?
No, I'd go down there. I'd love to see Raymond. That's cool. For sure.
Well,
but I got school and stuff like that, and I plan on going down to Costa Rica in January.
Well, while you're down there, look into their alternative energy stuff, and you know, pass that some pictures or something like that around.
Well, I'm going down there to put up some windmills and some solar panels and stuff like that for Bruce McDonald.
Windmills or wind turbines?
Turbines, windmills, whatever.
Gotcha. All right, so basically, that's the plan, folks. You know.
Yes, it is. Tell them about me bringing you 20 more solar panels.
Oh, yeah. Raymond donated 20 more of those solar panels that are rolled up. And essentially, somebody decided they was going to scrap them out for whatever reason, and they took all the aluminum off of them and rolled them up like carpet. Well, anybody who looks into solar panels would think, wow, this is a terrible thing. But I took Raymond out there by the deal that's in the Freethinker video, and I showed him. If you go back and look at the very first time that that thing started up, it's still running to this date. And those solar panels are sitting in the ground, directly on the ground, grass growing up around them, and they are still producing electricity even after they've been rolled up out in the rain,
snow,
ice. they're almost indestructible, you know. Even if they're not producing the maximum amount of wattage that they would be directly from the factory, the point is that these things were literally
trash.
And now they're treasure.
Yeah, and they can still provide somebody with their needs.
Yep.
Keep their refrigerator cold, put the lights on in the house at night so they can work.
Exactly.
So.
And Freethinker in the chat room said, we need more ionizer boats. I love that little boat, man. I'm gonna work on that some more. I got some ideas how to make that thing a lot faster and a lot more powerful. But the proof of concept, if you scale that down and actually was to do a little bit of mathematics to see that that little bitty ionizer with no moving parts was actually able to create a strong enough ion wind to move that boat across that water. See, you're using the buoyancy of the styrofoam and, you know, everything, little basic science and little basic physics in order to, you know, get basically a boat that has no moving parts, but it actually moves. So if that could be done on a small scale, you could actually scale that process up.
Anything that can be done small can be made larger.
Exactly.
Anything made large can also be made smaller.
So,
worst come to worst, if it won't scale up properly, then you just make 100 little ones.
Also, I haven't given up on the full-size pop-pop boat either. I still want to find a 10-foot John boat, flat-bottom boat, and I want to put a full-size pop-pop boat motor in there to show that that can actually function and actually be steered just basically the same way that a jet ski is steered with a nozzling that
yes,
you can focus
exactly
either direction. And so taking some of the old physics toys from the past and moving them up to some modern day ideas, you'd be surprised what we could come up with, folks. We're going to hopefully this week actually accomplish a few things and using 3D printers and all the tools that we've all bought together, try to put some gizmos out that we can show you out there on YouTube. And you know, basically, that's the first step forward. So, got any thoughts on that, guys? Justin?
Yes, I do. That could be a very good project for some young kid that shows potential. We bring him up here, help him actually build his own 3D printer. from scratch, and that would be his prize at the end of his trip. To actually build his own and it be his and take it home with him.
That'd be pretty cool. So, the ideas are unlimited.
So, Jermaine's into solenoid motors, and he wants to build a motor that will power a bicycle. We get him up here, let him build the thing, make sure it works good, and that is his. He takes it home with him. Kid is interested in 3D printers. Okay, he comes here, we help him build a 3D printer from scratch. Make sure it works properly and he knows how to operate it, and it's his. He takes it home with him. A kid wants to learn how to build a PMA. He comes up here, Scott Brown gets with him, helps him build it from scratch. So he understands exactly how it works, and he's actually done it with his own hands. Scott will not do any of the building himself, only supervise.
Yeah, and you go home with bigger arms from carving the prop.
Yeah. that's one of the biggest things. Like, I'm an adult, and the teachers are, you know, they're adults too. They're not teaching, like, you know, little kids, right? Like grade school kids. So we correlate, we talk about things more. And my accounting teacher, she's really hot, but. she's really like, she talks, she's got a lot of hatred in the government and the way that the curriculums are run and everything else. Like, she makes everybody go over everything so that it engraves and steals into you and you actually remember it. And other teachers, they just pile on the work, they're rambling on, misspelling words and everything else on the board. So that's what's going on. Our schools aren't teaching our children whatsoever. They're in it for the money. They're complaining that they don't get paid enough and this and that, and they're just following a curriculum. And that curriculum, they don't even know themselves.
Free thinker.
So how can they teach the kids if they don't know something themselves? Like Michelle, my accounting teacher, she has children too, and she's a teacher. She was giving us examples of how teachers are not teaching her kids, and she had to go into the school and give that teacher her peace of mind. And she is also the teacher that has more credentials because she teaches more things, right? Higher learning. So if a teacher's complaining about how her children are being taught, then we have a serious problem with our teaching.
Yeah, they kind of shortchanged the kids on some of the science and stuff like that. It's not just science, but other deals as well. Free thinker in the chat room typed in pop-pop ionizer boat. Now, that's not as crazy as it sounds, because if you actually see the anomaly when people use static electricity, like rubbing their hair on a balloon and then putting it near water, you'll see that the water bends towards that static charge. So in reality, if you was to put a static charge to that coil or you know, even some tubing underneath that boat, you could get that water attraction to you know, basically propel that boat. Yes. You see what I'm saying?
I got a question there.
Yeah.
Because you didn't go into it on your video, which is a good video, by the way. Is the ionization pushing the boat or pulling the boat?
It's pushing the boat. It's actually producing an ion wind that you can literally feel when you put your hand behind it. And okay. So the other way would be, like you just mentioned, pulling the boat using that attraction to the water. See, the water molecules are not tightly bound, and so once it gets attracted to it, it's still trying to attract the next molecule in line. You see what I mean? So it's kind of like putting a magnet in there, and the magnet can't grab onto nothing. It's trying to align itself, but it can't.
Yeah, what gets me, you say it kind of pulls the water, but then again, it's pushing.
Yeah. Well, this, This is actually pushing against the air. The ionized wind is actually pushing against the air, which is basically making like a reverse sailboat.
Gotcha. To get that, when you do that, you take the balloon, right? Energy is transferred from friction, heat, potential difference causes thrust, right?
Right.
Our atmosphere is what? Water, right? It has a density, right? So when you rub your hair or rub your shirt on that balloon, right? It causes friction, trivial electricity, right? Or electric effect, they could say. That friction causes potential difference in the atmosphere. Water then is attracted to it because it wants to cool it down. So it gives the balloon an atmosphere, a density, which is greater. It's a dipole. So the only thing that can push water is the same force, water. We see that with our moon as well. Moon has water on it. That's why it pushes the tide in and out. It's not just gravitics.
Well, I've never been to the moon, so I don't know, but nothing in this world or outside would surprise me.
I can't say anything against it because, I mean, you take a base of water or a pitcher of water and you pour half of it into another container of the exact light, and you take that miles away. What happens to the water here happens to the water there. And if a scientist or any experimenter is looking under a microscope and he's looking at bacteria and stuff, if there's a solar flare, the bacteria start acting strange and, I mean, getting very erratic. And that means you got 8.3 seconds to go outside and look at the sun to watch the solar flare.
The video...
Because it's in the water, all this... The bacteria know it before we get the light from the sun. So all water is connected. So
I think
water is a very, very strange thing.
I think you meant 8.3 minutes, not seconds.
Yeah. The bacteria you're talking about is...
That's correct, Ray.
It contains magnetosomes.
The video that... I did call Physics Toy 2. I never did fill up a water balloon and measure the actual weight of those water balloons with the water in them. But you can see that using the Van de Graaff generator, the static charge would cause that water inside that those bottles to actually start working like a pendulum. And you could also see that the magnet that was connected to the aluminum tape hanging down there was going back and trading that charge back and forth. But the key of that video was the fact that you can actually get work done with static electricity. The pop-pop boat, the ion wind, the static electricity. And so, you know, with that said, that brings me back into my point about, you know, how Edison, you know, was into DC current, Tesla was into AC current, and I want to prove my theories on energy, how energy, it can be used in so many different ways from any frequency out there. I don't care what frequency range your energy is traveling in. There's a use for it.
I never stood next to Tesla or Thomas Edison, but I wouldn't say that it was so much that Tesla was into the AC. That's for our modern institution. He was into the waves, to all the stuff that went around it. Whereas,
oh sure, there's a whole lot more.
Like there's so much, right?
Yeah, there's a whole lot more to his research than just, you know, AC current. That was just one of the byproducts of his research. But regardless. The research that he did in frequencies and the research like Dr. Raymond Reif did in research, Thomas and I and Raymond were having a conversation with Ryan yesterday about different frequency ranges, and Thomas showed an experiment on how he could put his thumb on the probe of an oscilloscope and actually get a frequency measurement off of his thumb. And he mentioned about how if you took and recorded this frequency when you're healthy, and then you recorded the frequency when you were sick, then you would have a range in there to know, you know, where the healthy frequencies were for, you know, like Rife was doing.
Right. The organic reactions that are going on inside your body when you're healthy don't stop happening. You're just adding additional functions that are going on in there, and that's where those new frequencies that are muddying up the original healthy frequency are coming from.
Yeah.
So you lay the two over top of each other and cancel the one out with the other so that you can see what frequencies are now the new ones that have appeared since you have the foreign organisms or the alteration in the healthy cells to make them unhealthy, like, say, cancer cells.
Yeah. And ironically enough, because life imitates art, if you go back and you look at the Star Trek, all the different Star Trek videos, and you see when they go into the medical place in there, they got this nifty machine that they can, like, run over the top of you and heal bones and stuff, you know, with frequencies. So, in my mind, I can actually see this working. You know, basically being able to speed up the healing process of the human body just by the right frequency range.
And it's not going to be as dramatic as it is on TV because they have to do it. They have to pack everything down to anything between 30 minutes and 2 hours between TV and movies.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be far, far more dramatic than what we're dealing with today.
But either way, by that static was coming from you guys. Either way, by paying attention to what's going on in there and, you know, thinking outside the box, if you was to say something like this to any of the doctors out there, they'd pretty much look at you like you were a nutcase, like they do in the electrical world whenever I talk about my theories of electricity and energy. They're going to look at you like you're nuts. Because the book don't say that. Which one of y'all got that static going on?
You know, the example that Thomas and I are working on, as far as sound waves, creating, generating bone growth, skin growth, blah, blah, blah. I know people have heard about singers that could hit a high-pitched E with enough volume to actually shatter a crystal glass. If you can shatter crystal with sound waves, a high-pitched sound wave, then you can actually create a sound wave that will explode cancer cells but not hurt good cells. Think about that a minute. You could do it on a molecular level. You could actually...
Right. You're not talking about destroying the actual cancer cell. You're talking about destroying the mechanism that allows the cancer cell to be a cancer cell.
Yeah, target specific.
And then it just eventually dies off and becomes food for the other cells without actually infecting them with its bad DNA.
See, this is about looking past everything you've been taught, you know, using everything you've been taught for your common sense to have some sort of basis off of, but actually looking past just the anomaly and thinking about how far you can actually take it.
You know, as far as cancer goes, the reason your body has mechanisms that will attack and kill cancer cells, but cancer cells, they have a stealth program where they actually coat themselves in a chemical that to these cells that attack the cancer cells, they pass by the cancer cells. Who knows? Maybe what Thomas and I are looking at is not something that will kill the cancer cell or disrupt it, but uncloak it to where your own body organism can see it. Once your health organism can see it as a cancer cell, it will attack it and it will kill it. You know, so maybe that's what we need to be looking at, but we're going all aspects. We're going to see if we can actually detect something different in its DNA and attack that, or possibly even uncloaking these hidden cancer cells.
Yep.
So we're playing with all aspects of it.
But
hey, we're doing something. We're actually working on it. Okay.
Hey, Muddy, is your microphone set next to a jet engine?
There it is.
Here it is.
Thanks, brother.
No, I had it sitting on a bucket, so basically the microphone was sitting in the bucket as well, where the band was going. So
that explains it.
I had that problem once before. Thanks for letting me know.
Okay, so now that we got that, see how that works? You can solve problems just by troubleshooting. Okay, Freethinker says Tesla chargers prove that all Rife machines on the market are not the same as the original. They will not work as designed. There is a great article on this site about this. If you can post a link about that, that'd be great.
Well, something else people could look into is what's called LIPUS, it stands for low intensity pulsed ultrasound. And there's plenty of documentation where they've been able to verify that you could actually speed up the growth of bones. You can actually activate the stem cells in the base where the end of the root of your tooth is at after it's been pulled out and regrow a new tooth. It repairs activates the stem cells in spinal columns to regrow spinal discs that have been damaged or repair spinal discs that have been damaged. So, I mean, if you go to a doctor with degenerative disorder, they just kind of, you know, shake their head and say, you got X amount of time before you're going to basically be in a wheelchair. There's nothing they can do for it. And this offers a potential now to solve that problem that has been, up to this point, unsolvable.
Yeah.
Their solution, fuse the bones together in your spinal column, and then you lose part of your mobility. You know, I know one particular woman who can't play piano anymore because of it, from it being done in her neck. She can't look up to see the sheet music anymore. So
basically, imagine you start logging up all the different anomalies to every single frequency that you can start from 0 hertz all the way up to the highest in terahertz range or whatever, and you'd essentially have one heck of a guidebook, man. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine what you could actually accomplish with that just by, you know, it's trial and error, experimenting things. You know, one time I was messing around with Tesla coils in my old lab, and I energized myself to the extent that I felt like I drank couple thousand cups of coffee. Felt great, man. So I hit the right frequency. If I'd had at that point in time,
you hit the wrong frequency, you'd have opposite
yeah reaction. If I had had it at that point in time, if I would have had an oscilloscope to actually capture a reading on there, I would have been able to document that exact frequency. But I know
the only
it
reason
exists.
You don't have an oscilloscope because you refuse to help take financial help from other people. I remember when I donated to you to help you, and it did. You refused, but then I tricked you into it.
He's mad because you won't let him help.
It ain't gone right, I'm mad. I want to help.
Well, I just, like I said,
there's other people out there like me.
I don't want people to help,
but you won't let them.
I don't want people that put me in the same category as people out there trying to scam people, because this ain't about scamming.
Just beat him over the head with a teddy bear.
Hard boy for yourself, she says.
It's still hard for me too.
I mean, it's appreciated.
If I didn't know him.
It really is.
I wouldn't let him help.
And if we could figure out a method by which we could do this, that everybody would be reassured that every dime, like Raymond said, would be documented towards where it went, then I could probably go for something like that. Because
no one's going to be using money to go get booty calls. And
it's not going to
go. Have, you know, pancakes at IHOP.
It's not going to be squandered, you know. I'm not into taking advantage of people. This whole process is about trying to make this world a better place, and we got enough knuckleheads out there trying to pass off fake free energy devices to try to, you know, further their own financial gain or whatever. You know, Cashew's prime example of that. I don't know where he is today, but man's took a lot of money from a lot of people. And
I would say people have been doing it since the invention of the lie.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
you know, I don't like to think about anybody's, you know, putting their faith into something and then falling, you know, short of being able to keep your promise. When I say that I'm going to prove free energy, I meant it. I'm 100%. I'm 150,000% sure of the words coming out of my mouth. All you have to do.
Over unity, 150,000%.
Yeah, all right. In my faith. Because when I look around at this world, my brain, while it's terrible mathematically and terminology wise, it is brilliant mechanically. And so I see things mechanically. I see the wind as a mechanical device. I see everything out there from water pressure to vacuums and all this. I see it gears turning in my head whenever something's going on. I pay attention to these anomalies. That's how I was able to figure out, to build an eye on winds to push a little boat. And so where my plus comes in is on the mechanical side of understanding on how things actually function, but getting that across, the terminology across, takes guys like Justin and Raymond and Thomas and Muddy to try to explain to people, in their terminology. It'd be the equivalent to me trying to talk to the doctor about something,
I believe that if we started this program of helping young people, we have many, many guest speakers on Mad Science and Knights of the Round Table that don't come in very often, but I believe that we could get them motivated to come in and participate. I really do, because all of them want to help young people. And that's the whole point here. We're investigating alternative energies, okay? But at the same time, we're doing it for the future. So we want to get the young people, the people of the future, involved. Physically, hands-on involvement. We're going to need help with this, all right? I've already donated to sponsor one kid. Totally, 100%. All we need is other people to sponsor other children by donating money so that so the families that can't afford to send their child, but the child is worthy, then we have the money to back them. Donate materials. Any company that makes something that one of our children are interested in, donate something from your factory that's not going to hurt you. You're making a product, and because it's blemished in some way, you're not going to sell it. Don't trash it. Send it to us.
We're
not even going to ask you companies for money, but we will make sure you get notified or notice for your contribution.
I also see a potential that we could, as researchers and those of us who already have tools, get together and design and build kits. Like, there's people out there that want to build a Tesla coil to do research on it, but they don't really know how to do it. We can build a kit and instruction manuals, and then maybe people can donate to buy them one of those kits to send over to them so they can build it, and we can do a live stream with them and actually help guide them through the process of putting it together.
Oh, Lord, that's an excellent idea. That is excellent.
Yeah, we could do 3D printable, static motors or whatever, and, for you to help us support Shaziz Radio and all the other researchers out there. And you find somebody who is into it that maybe not financially capable, you could buy one and we'd ship it over to them so that they can actually build it and test it and, hopefully inspire them to, go further with the idea. You take any idea out there, it's just an idea if you don't try to expand on it. But if you take that idea and run with it, that's where some of the most brilliant toys in this world came from. That's where some of the most brilliant machinery and inventions was. Somebody who saw how something worked and said, you know what, I think I could do something else with that, Repurposing these old the X-13s like Ryan Abrams and Terry Woodruff made us hip to. I got the motor out of the doggone direct drive washing machines. We found out there's 3 or 4 different models out there that you can use. Those are ready built generators. And so, if you've got one that maybe the circuit board went bad, you want to donate that motor out of that thing or something like that to the cause.
You brought up something a minute ago about Clinton, I want to make this clear to the listeners out there that are really interested in donating to help us help the young people. We're not talking here just strictly electronics, folks. We're talking physical science as well, mechanics. I mean, some kids got an idea to build something that, something I'm building now just to show people that it can be done is this drinking bird thing. I'm building one that it's over 6 feet long or high. And it's got a spot in it to put charcoal, lit charcoal for it with a heat portion. A dunking bird is nothing more than a heat engine, okay? So I'm building a big one to show that it can be done. And it'll run 24 hours a day. And if some kid wants to build one to learn and or something of that nature, these welding machines, it doesn't know how to weld, come here, we'll teach him. Show him how to build things with steel so he can work on his future projects more accurately.
Cool. Freethinkers posted a video in there for those of you who heard about the Rife machine. He's posted a video to the real Rife machine. Also asked the question, what is the maximum voltage that an ion boat could work on? There's actually no limitation. You know, that one that I did there was using a 12-volt negative ion generator, but I was only running it off a 9-volt battery, so I could actually put a 12-volt power supply to that and run it off of that. But you could build, you know, Van de Graaff style or even Wimshurst style motor systems to generate that ion wind. You know, the plasma, energizing argon gas into a plasma, you'll smell the ozone around there. You can also feel an ion wind being generated around that. So, you know, with that said, the possibilities are limitless. It just depends on how far you actually want to take it. So, which one do y'all want to take over for a second? I got a... Thomas?
Hey, what are we taking over for?
You got to go. His eyeballs are full.
He's killing me here.
Yeah, throwing Thomas under the bus. He's taking over for a minute. Tell him about some. Tell him about some of your ideas, man.
Yeah. What ideas?
About this networking, tools and resources and materials.
Well, I would just say that, you know, the idea of helping kids up is great. I don't think we should limit ourselves with that. As we get more, if people get serious about helping out with this, or someone else maybe starts their own thing, I mean, let's get them doing it too. Or we can get anybody who's basically serious about the research that's been overlooked, give them a shot to get in there, you know?
You're right.
Give them a shot to try it out. I mean, the most important thing is
limit ourselves to helping young people.
Right.
Focus on that, yes. But older people that mid-20s, 30s, 40s, that's got really good ideas and it really looked great, well, let's help them out too, okay? There are so many people out there that got really good ideas that's being overlooked.
Right.
So. I mean, you know, but we need to start somewhere. So I say start with the young people. It's a start. Then after that, we grow and get bigger, and more people join in and help. I mean, the sky is the limit, folks. The sky is the limit. And I put my foot out there first. Slam the door, I'll pull it back, stick the other one in. I'm telling you, I'm behind this 100%.
Like I said, you know, the idea of opening up local, not really hacker spaces, but just like public research facilities where people could show up and work on their research, develop things. I mean, if I said something like that, I'm not even opposed to somebody using the space to build tools so they can set up their own lab in their garage and start a home business off it, you know? I mean, if you invent a device, how many people have spent money on devices that
didn't work?
They were expecting to basically power their house off of it, and of course they got taken. They lost their money, you know. How many people buy generators? Buy gasoline, just so they can be off-grid if they have to, you know. Emergencies, whatever else. So there's a need for it out there, and people are more than willing to compensate those people for it. I'm not concerned about that at all. We've had an issue with somebody else who demonized all profit. And it's... Honestly, I think it's just because they haven't figured out how to separate the difference between honest value somebody's put in and gotten a return for it and somebody who is taking advantage of other people in order to get extra, you know, value for themselves. They've basically stolen somebody else's value. Because, I mean, that's all profit is value. If you can take something that people see as not really being worth much, like a bunch of rocks on the side of a mountain, and you cut them down and make them into nice, even shapes so that you can fit them together and make a building out of it, you've added value to those stones because now they can keep somebody warm, they can keep the rain off of them, they can, you know, repel invaders. I mean,
you know, true, absolute true capitalism is good. Because true capitalism, the way it works is the only way you can make $1 million is you have to help 10 other people make $100,000 each so they can help you make that million. The only way they can make $100,000 each is each one has to get 10 people to make $10,000. And each one of those 10 have to get 10 more to make $1,000. That's the way true capitalism, honest capitalism works. It's not about somebody making all the profit and not sharing that profit. You've got to share part of it.
Right. Money just made it easier for people to rip other people off. But they even whenever people were trading goats for grain and
they had to make
apples for cantaloupes or whatever, they were ripping people off then too. And you have to be able to see the difference between whether you're ripping somebody off or you're actually giving them something they want
they
for something they have that you want. It's just,
or give them something that make the trade something that they don't need, but they know somebody else that needs it that has some what they need.
Right.
What you want to do is make a business deal where everybody, it doesn't matter whether it's two people or five people that are making the deal, as long as everybody walks away from the table thinking they got the best end of the deal.
Well, they've gotten
possible.
Away from the idea, too, that honestly, that type of transaction is two people taking care of each other, or
exactly.
Two or three or four or five people all taking care of each other.
Socialism, but on a capitalistic plan.
I would simply be satisfied that the scales of justice were equally balanced for all parties involved. That, you know, I need something and you got something, we trade, right. We barter, whatever, you know.
All right. No socialistic government has ever succeeded for one reason. It's a government. You let the people enter into capitalism, then you have a true socialistic type of situation that will work. Capitalism individually is socialism that works. Each person gives what they don't need to someone that needs it, and in return gets something that they need.
How do we turn this into a Knights of the Round Table show?
I don't know.
Let me take the helm again.
Yeah. Get us back on course, Captain.
Get us back on course, Captain.
All right.
Work the gunners, mate.
Duct tape and baling wire, folks. You're listening to Shaziz Radio Mad Science. And, hey, we're nights all day, every day, every night, all night, you know, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And so we're liable to talk about all kinds of stuff. But when it comes down to mad science, Stephen Gibbons posted in there, was the Rife machine not also an electron microscope that he could see virus and bacteria and would power... Doggone it. It scrolled up on me. I think somebody else has already... No, they didn't answer the question. Yeah.
Shenanigans. Don't make me break out my shillelagh.
I don't know. We'll have to do some more research on the Rife machine. I used to have a whole bunch of it stocked up that I did some stuff on. And
have technology available to us now that guy did not have available to him. So even if we start from scratch and just forget everything that he worked on and just use what we find with our own two eyes, from the equipment that we have to work with, we will still, within a year, we'll have gone beyond tenfold what he accomplished his entire life.
Well, that's brilliant.
If only he were alive now to work on that.
Oh, God, if he were alive now, we'd have it cured in six months.
That's brilliant, but it also reinforces what I was talking about. See, Rife started an idea about curing with using frequencies, all right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, a lot of folks... throughout time, started doing what they call quackery devices. But those quackery devices weren't that far off from what they what Rife was working on. But what they were was at the wrong frequency range.
Right.
And so, you know, now
or
that
they're
we're
not focused so that you can't control what it's actually affecting, so it's harming other parts of the body instead of working like a scalpel.
It's like you when you accidentally hit on that one made you feel like $1 million, all green and wrinkled.
Yep.
You could just as easily have hit on the wrong one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the thing is you did, but you didn't have the technology.
But the key point that I was trying to get with is that he started an idea, and those that after him who took that idea and ran with it and expanded on it, that's the same thing as the concept of the pop-pop boat. The very first time I saw that little toy in my hand, my brain went into overdrive, and I could visualize building this doggone boat the size of a full-size boat that a full-grown man could ride around in. Had that, this finally would have come to pass, and we would have actually built like a 10-foot aluminum flat-bottom John boat into a pop-pop boat, and the thing actually functions, you could ship these to third-world countries where they have old-style boat motors from maybe the 50s or 60s or something like that, and then when they break down, they have trouble finding the parts because they're no longer in production. But a properly made pop-pop boat the size of a 10-foot flat-bottom John boat with maybe some stainless steel coil tubing and a heating source that could be anywhere from hydrogen technology to propane
to
dry grass or wood burner or whatever would create the heat engine necessary to push that boat with no moving parts. And so, therefore, you wouldn't have no parts to wear out, and if it was rust preventative, such as made out of stainless steel, you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, this thing rusting out, you know. And if the tubing was made out of copper tubing, it would still function, and as long as you didn't overheat that, you wouldn't be polluting the water with copper oxides or anything like that. So you could find out the sweet point of the temperature, and then you'd know that you don't want to overheat to pass this certain point. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I played with pop-pop the engine.
So, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. And back in the day when we were trying to do the contest of the pop-pop boat, I was really disheartened that we didn't get any entries in that contest because, you know, a lot of people were interested in what we were doing, but there weren't very many people interested or too busy doing, you know, to build them.
Resources.
But I'd like to try to revive that at some point and actually bring that contest back to the forefront, you know, and build a full-size version of that deal, because I honestly believe that using nozzling technology such as what they use in jet skis, that you could turn this boat into, you know, where it only had, what, two moving parts, and those would be the nozzles and the steering wheel?
That's it. That's only moving parts.
And so, if a person, you know, in a third world country could get a hold of one of these boats, which I think could be cheaply manufactured, then they'd never have to worry about replacing parts. Plus, you know, they could use all different types of biofuels to run it, you know, even hydrogen technology. Back when this was being done, Coltis did a version where he used, he took copper tubing and a battery, a 12-volt car battery, and basically made an induction heater that was spitting hot water out the other end of it. It was pretty impressive. You know, that's using a car battery. But there's other ways that you could actually, you know, energize that copper tubing using electricity, solar power, you know, or, you know, hydrogen cell technology to where you can actually create that that heat that's necessary in there.
You know, it's possible to actually boil water from the heat of cattle dung.
Well, Muddy was talking about, where did Muddy go? Did we lose him?
I think so.
Oh, anyway, he was talking about compost. It gets 180 degrees up underneath there. Now, question would be,
you can boil water at 55 degrees. Duh!
So there's all kinds of possibilities, man. And as far as being able to have a throttle control on this, it'd be something as simple as a relief valve to let the pressure out, you know, speed it up, slow it down, just like they did the old steam engines.
Can you imagine taking 5-gallon bucket of horse manure and powering a boat for 10 or 12 miles with two grown people in it?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Don't they burn
and still have enough power left to come back?
What'd you say, Justin?
5 gallons of manure, it can be done.
Justin, did you say something? If you're trying to talk, you're cutting out. All right. Well, until we get him back on there.
Sure.
So anyway, there's all kinds of possibilities. I don't know if something's wrong with your microphone or not, Justin, but I'm only hearing like every other syllable of what you're saying. Testing 1-2, 1-2. Earth to Justin.
Are we still broadcasting?
Yeah. We're doing fine. Oh, no. Sorry, folks. The Skype just went down again. That's the same issue we were having the other day. All right, we're still doing fine on that over there. All right, so we'll have to wait for Skype to reboot itself. Are you back, Justin? Nope.
When that happens, can people hear us?
Yeah, we're on Sam. Okay. We're fine.
What do you guys think, those of you that are in the chat room, about us doing another show where we're actually doing live video stream of what we're working on?
Yeah, if you can answer that question, if we're doing a full-time live stream where you guys could actually have time to interact via Skype or whatever, what do you think about that? I was trying to call Justin back. I lost him in there. Skype's acting a fool again. Ring, ring. All right, we're still waiting on a response in the chat room, and we're waiting on a response for the Skype to pick back up. Justin was trying to say something, and then all heck broke loose. All right.
Let Thomas ask people again to make sure that they heard it.
Well, I said, the heck with asking people. I said we just go ahead and live stream it. We let them know it's there. If they want to tune in and see what's going on, they want to chat with us, we can set up a video stream too, so they can actually talk back to us if they want.
Skype just went down again.
So,
all right.
That would be
good. Yeah. So Skype is acting a fool. So if you're listening in there, Justin, sorry, we'll try to get you connected back up later. I can't do nothing about that because all right. So basically, if you're still listening in the chat room, which Thomas was asking what your thoughts on the us live streaming the experiments real time. If you had any suggestions on that, just type them off in the chat room and we'll respond. Anyway, the pop boat was, whenever I first saw it, it was a brilliant little toy. And that toy, to me, I could visualize that toy being expanded upon till you could literally build a full-size version of the same deal and actually be able to strengthen what was going on, you know, by modifying the way that you did the boiler system on the deal, you know, such as, big copper, big stainless steel tubing with a whole bunch of smaller stainless steel tubing coiled up inside the tubing to add like a honeycomb effect to it, more places for the water to get hot, fat, hotter, faster and such to transfer that energy. So that's just one of many out there. The Van de Graaff generator, the static generators, Lord Kelvin device, and Wimshurst style generator. All of these are things with anomalies occurring in there that, you know, there's a guy out there called Lid Motor on YouTube that always builds little small pill bottle style static motors and static generators. And what I've been trying to talk him into doing, I don't know how many times, I don't know if he's done a video on it yet, but I've been trying to see if he could build him a combination motor generator out of this deal and see how much of a static charge that he could actually generate, you know, to transfer energy from one side over to the other. Anyway, do you guys want to take a quick music break?
Yes.
Let's do that.
All right, we're going to throw a couple tunes on there and take a music break. You're listening to Mad Science. We've talked about so much, so it's a lot to absorb and try to get our act together here on Skype and see what's going on with that. But in the meantime, I'll throw you on a couple tunes, and stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. Peace and love.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
crap. Operator, give me the number for 911.
Read the Gazette to catch up on the news. Some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers have just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears. It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done, but it's clear how their thoughts had run. Just put some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy. Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up unregretting. Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is slow for the worst. Just do some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction, often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool. Just do some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap. Just do some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Ah, crap. Operator, give me the number for 911.
is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup with the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug of fine china, been hooked up to IVs, need constant supplies, and a drip for my urges might verge on perverted, perverted brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain, I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk with a couple of monks who are utterly stuck. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please. Earl Grey,
yes please.
Earl Grey,
yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely. Assam,
lovely.
Assam,
lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. Oh, we're gone,
gorgeous.
Not wrong, yeah. I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swig amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal,
no thanks.
Herbal,
no thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter, it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger. Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your snorting coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms pop me loving teapot to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clots nodding off, lost the plot spotting off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer on 80 cups a day. I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour. My hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, I love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, could you describe the ruckus? We're having a ruckus with Skype. Skype don't want to cooperate. Can you spell cooperate? Anyway, you're listening to Mad Science. We played some tunes, try to sort out Skype. Seems like we got Muddy on there for a minute. You hanging there by a thread there, Muddy?
Oh, yeah. Got no problem at this end, but I think MicroShaft is messing with you.
Yeah, MicroShaft is a terrible... it's a terrible company, man.
Yeah, Skype was great until they bought it.
Yeah, and then they thrashed it.
Yeah.
So we need computer programmers to write us a new Skype version.
Yeah, new Skype.
Yeah, we could call it the real Skype. The real deal Skype, like the good old days.
Competing program, how about that?
A what?
A competing program.
Yeah, there
Maybe
you go.
Maybe they'll get their act together if they get some competition that gives them a good thrashing.
I was going to talk about doing just that.
Oh, we might go to Whisper Signal or something like that. I hear that's pretty good.
How about we just do our own?
Yeah, there's a lot of open source software available in Linux that we could actually write programs in, like Perl or whatever.
Yep.
Make it cross-platform so that we can use it on Mac and Windows, Linux, or anything. Android, iPhone.
Anyway, we'll resolve the issue. You got your fan in the bucket again? Maybe it's not him, maybe it's me this time. All right, folks, duct tape and belling wire. That's how it's done. Nope, it wasn't me. It's you and this.
Red,
green. Yeah, you're cutting out again, buddy. We're getting every other syllable. Do-do-do-do-do. All right, so... we'll get it resolved at some point. We'll get a better machine. I guess we're going to work on that today. Yeah, he's knocking on the machine that he just threw some RAM in there, so we'll put a better Skype version in there. I can hear you.
Just so you can conform. Conform!
I can hear you, but you sound like a yo-yo.
I'm still going in and out, huh?
Oh, now you're not. I don't know what you did there, but hold on to that. Stay real close to your mic.
I think he...
Standing on 1 foot, mouth open one way, and hand sticking out the other way?
Yeah, YouTube live chat.
With your finger in a light socket.
And don't forget your tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anon 6435 in the chat room suggested a YouTube live chat. We could actually live stream...
Yeah, like Google Hangouts is broadcast onto YouTube.
Yeah.
And preserve for posterity's sake.
My dog gone. Yeah. Oh, people say, no, you play that line. So.
Yeah. Alright, so we've talked about a lot of stuff on today's show. We've had a little technical difficulties with the wonderful Skype. I despise Skype. Yeah. And so, with that said, I hope if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the direction that we want to take the research and the YouTube channel and the network. This is the People's Network out here, ShazizRadio.com. You got a microphone, access to a microphone and a platform, and if you got something to share with people, that you can come over here and join in on the radio show or join in the chat room. And basically do what it is that we've been doing, trying to get some good information across to people. and you know, getting something accomplished. I got Thomas and Raymond here for about a week. We're going to try to take the tools and technology and knowledge that we've acquired together and build some devices and hopefully get them on video. So, you still there, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would had something bigger to take on.
Well, whatever you said, I didn't understand a word of it. Try calling me back.
I'll call you back.
All right. So we'll wait for him to ring in again. Do-do-do-do-do. As soon as he rings in, we'll see if we can get this doggone thing to act like something is working again. All right, in the meantime... we've laid out our plan for how we're going to proceed as far as actually getting some working devices together for you folks out there to share with you. And there's Buddy. Hello!
Hello!
Alright, now that sounds wonderful there. How long can we hold it?
Oh, you can hold it pretty good there. For basic. The internet done the call. See,
still
working. Yeah, so.
It's bad. What a nightmare! It's breaking up again.
Real bad, Scott.
Holy mom.
Yeah, has your kind of microphone got a short in it, or is it on my side?
Yes.
All right.
Getting every third or fifth word.
Yeah.
Not enough to even know what you're saying.
Well, I'm on a different device now, so it can't be the same thing.
Now that was clear as a bell.
Yeah, that sounded good.
Yeah. Maybe the anti-feedback is hearing me and cutting me out through the mic.
That might be. Talk slower. There you go.
Yeah. I'm good at talking slow.
All right, so for the plan that we laid out, what's your thoughts on it, man?
Must have been when I was out of the call.
The plan that we laid out throughout the entire show.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I think a slight investment for something better than a 10 gig hard drive might help your Skype setup.
Yeah, that's this doggone Linux version there that we set up for Skype initially, but Thomas has got a plan.
It used all of your hard drive, though.
Yeah.
I think what I need to do is trick him in and let me get him a 3-terabyte hard drive.
That'll work. Or at least a 30 gig.
Sucker won't let me give him any damn thing, so he makes me force him, makes me trick him into it. He's a bigot. He wants all the glory.
No
help. I'm throwing him under the bus again for the fourth time in this show, and he deserves it.
Alright, so.
We're going to tie his hands behind his back and throw him under the bus.
Go by the store, buy the biggest teddy bear you can find.
Yeah.
Hey, this? Yeah. This is terrible for live radio, man. It's cutting out bad. She's breaking up. somebody in the chat room typed that in there, too. Anyway, so folks, we laid out a plan that we're actually getting together. We got the tools, we got the technology, and we're inviting people that... the longer this process goes on, we'd like to bring people in from different countries, if need be, you know, different places, brilliant minds from all over the world, and just start building stuff. We're working on a full-time laboratory situation to where we'll even have rooms available for people to sleep in while they're over here, so you don't even have to worry about a motel or nothing like that. So we need to gather together maybe a cook. Anyone you guys know how to cook?
I'm an excellent cook.
All right, well, Raymond's cooking. You don't want my cooking. And we need to get somebody who's really good at organization, organizing.
There, that's what we need.
Yeah, we need somebody who's really good at organizing.
Oh, wait a minute, who was it? Said he was. What's that guy up in Canada? Barry Prince.
Barry, yeah, Barry can organize.
Barry's already said that he's a good organizer and he's willing to help.
Yeah.
We need to get him
on Barry
this.
Down there somewhere. All right, so we're down to like the last half hour of the show. I think Muddy done dropped off on us. I see your picture, Muddy. Are you still there?
Bite your tongue.
Oh. No, I don't want to do that. That might hurt. But, so, we got the technology. I'm saying to everybody out there, I'm 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, fully convinced that we've got every piece of the puzzle necessary to do exactly what it is we've been talking about all this time, and start accomplishing some things that we can share with the world. And basically, you know, the information that we're putting out there, folks, we're open sourcing this, so you can take these ideas and you can run with them. All these little anomalies that I keep talking about, little physics toys like the pop-pop boat and stuff like that, static generators and so on, all of these are things that you could expand on and see how far you could actually take them, and then, you know, add that information into the pot of all the knowledge that we've got going on and just keep the ball rolling. The average Joe gathering together, networking, and putting things together, you know, here we are in the year, 2016, getting ready to go into 2017, and I feel like we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. And so, somebody said they want to hear Muddy's, they want to hear Muddy play a guitar through a Tesla coil.
That would be cool.
You just don't want the feedback portion of it.
Muddy. No. Scott.
Ball dropped again. Yeah.
I want to ask him a favor. I want him to write a song, a theme song for Mad Science.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
A special theme song.
He did a lot of our station identification deals. But he wasn't playing the guitar when he did it.
I want him to play the guitar and sing our theme song.
All right, so can you guys think of anything else that... Somebody said, I want to see someone build an anti-propaganda filter for mainstream media, then truth could get out. That sounds good.
Just need to make an unbiased version of Snopes.
Yeah.
We call it Snipes.
And you're back.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Possibly.
We're doing this Skype dance today.
You're not singing the Skype dance song.
Speak. We can hear your static.
Ear. I wonder if
hey, Skype, can you hear me clear?
Can you hear us clear? One beep for yes, two beeps for no.
Okay, Scott. Hey, we need a big favor, and only you can do it. You're the only one qualified.
You're our only hope, Obi-Wan.
What we need you to do is to write a theme song for Mad Science, and in it mention most of the things we're trying to do, such as prove free energy, help technology, and look to the future, and the children are the future.
I think you're going too far with it. He needs to write a whole album then.
Yes.
Yeah, write a whole album. We'll promote you.
Yeah. and then we need you to play your guitar and sing.
Cassette tapes on sale for only $15.99.
Plus tax. That's $50 for those of you who can't count.
And set it to the tune of America the Beautiful.
We lost him again. He's going to have to listen to the podcast to get the message.
No, better yet, we're not all about America. We're about the world. No, set it to the tune of I'd like to teach the world to sing.
All right, he'll get your message during the podcast. Ring, ring.
That would be it.
Are you back?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, you sound good now.
About this
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the third device. I don't think it's on my end.
Well, just try to hold what we got there.
Right.
We got a half an hour to go.
Hey, buddy, when you write the song, set it to the theme of I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, or He's Got the Whole World in His Hands.
Oh, I think I could probably write a new tune and make it a lot better.
Okay, go for it. But we don't want it nationalized to the United States or any other country. We're all about the world.
Oh, it's about science, homebrewer.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's about like the mainstream science guys want to like drop the ball as far as moving us into the future, you know. Like, these guys keep on complaining about how we got to save the planet, but then every time guys like us come out here and start showing you ways that you can do that using existing technology and more efficiently than it's done before, that's when the crazies come up out the woodwork, man.
Up out the woodwork.
Yeah, up straight up out the woodwork like termites.
Bedbugs.
Cockroaches. Yeah.
You've heard some of the other songs I wrote, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, like Sweet Angelette?
Yeah. You're not carpenter
or nothing. You're
that one. That one, never mind.
You still want me to write that song?
Write two or three, and then we'll play them on the air and let the people choose.
Yeah.
We'll let the people choose.
Man,
which one
put an album out.
I think y'all.
$15.99 on cassette.
Plus tax. That's $50 for those of you who can't count.
Five, six, or eight songs.
You know, Thomas, I thought about that many times, and I started on it, and I still think it's a great idea. I might just do that.
Hey, I got an idea. Go ahead and write five or six songs. We'll put it on a CD, and we're not going to sell it. We're going to give it away free to everybody that donates $10 or more for our Smart Children's Fund to get these kids over here.
Why not?
All right, why not?
Somebody said call it Imagine like John Lennon.
Imagine. Can I put Sweet Angelette on it?
Imagine what the world would be like if we all worked together. That's exactly what we discussed many times on Mad Science and Bites of Roundtable. Imagine what the world would be like if we all worked together.
Yeah. Well, that's the point, folks. We're sitting here. We're doing all kinds of research. We have been for, me personally, about 15, 20 years. And so I've learned a lot of stuff in all this time about all these different types of devices and things about hydrogen technology. And even at everything that I've got, knowledge that I've learned through this entire journey, I still can't match the knowledge like Thomas has got on chemistry and different types of materials and their qualities. And Raymond's got mechanical skills like his two-stage oscillator and such. And Muddy's done actual flux wind turbines and Stirling engines. So combined, we got it all. We got all the knowledge. And there's other folks out there like Ryan Abrams and Terry Woodruff and Lid Motor and Deeds and Rimstar.org and all these guys out there, Tin Man, there's people, alternative researchers out the eyeball on YouTube.
And everyone he just named, a dynamite guy.
Yeah. And so, if we bring all these guys together, like, you know, we've gathered here, and we're going to do some projects and do some videos and, basically show you some of those things, physics and basic science in action with working devices, and hopefully that's going to be the motivation for other people to join in on the process. Ryan Abrams built me a Solar Exciter circuit with a tip 42C transistor and some diodes.
G
Bluer, yeah, there's another one.
He's the one that came up with Slayer Exciter.
And so, but Ryan, when you put this thing together, this thing's beautiful, man. I mean, even in his manufacturing, it's art. And, you know, this thing, it's wireless technology that could be expanded on. You know, I feel like that we could make that doggone thing transmit multitudes times farther than what it is with a little bit of few tips and tricks that we learned along the way. So anyway, wireless energy, like Tesla's dream of sending energy across the world back and forth to anybody who had a tower to pick up the energy, or even on-site thermoelectrics using, you know, nature, what nature's already provided. You know, those hot springs out there and the thermal vents, and, you know, there's places on this planet where lightning's striking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that energy built up in the atmosphere could be drugged down and stored and utilized. There's so many different ways. If we took and used everything that we know to this point right now, we could build the perfect power grid that would never fail, you know. If we were running short on energy on this side, they could ship us some from another state. It'd all be intertwined with each other.
Hell, I thought that was your house where the lightning strikes 24/7.
Well, it does when I'm out in the lab. I've been lit up a few times.
The state of Florida has enough lightning in 24
nice hair, dude.
Hours to yep. light the city of New York for 10 years.
Yep. And, you know, that's the whole point, man.
And that's one little bitty state in 50 states. Come on.
But there's, you know, anytime somebody addresses a need such as telling us that the world is coming to an end because of global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week, whenever the math doesn't add up, you know, if we step forward and we give them the suggestions and the ideas and they didn't accept them, it's up to we the people to do it, you know, just plain and simple as that. Because you're not going to get it from any corporation or any fuel industry or power companies or whatever. Like, you know, not even the governments aren't even. They talk all about it all the time. You know, we're going to find clean, renewable energy, green energy. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But they never do nothing. You know, they've been talking about it forever and a day. We've got solar power that could supplement the power grid. You know, if every single one of those poles had a extra little panel on there or two, you know, you could use that doggone solar power whenever the power grid was down, would keep it going on, you know, if it was during the daylight, or, you know, maybe even a wind generator on the top of those poles or something. There's possibilities.
Look at Germany. Germany's 80% free energy.
Well, see, it's
static
possible.
Static atmospheric energy off of all those poles and turn it back into usable energy.
Yeah.
Right. Static energy. They've got the lines up.
Instead of running our ground,
throwing it away.
My research and my theories, I'm going to prove by showing the people of the world that electricity isn't just 60 hertz. It isn't just 50 hertz. It's in multiple, unimaginable numbers of ranges of frequencies that could be utilized.
You don't even have to do that, man. They use that to send power to speakers.
Yeah.
It's electricity at different frequencies to generate that the speaker turns into sound.
In the chemistry field out there, if anybody can figure out how to build a coating better than the actual coating that's on the copper wire that we use today, that, you know, it will withstand.
What they call magnet wire, the enameling.
Yeah, the magnet wire, the enamel on there. If anybody could figure out a insulator that could withstand high frequencies and high voltage, we'd have this thing solved overnight.
Yes.
Because absolutely. You could literally build a motor that would work off of high voltage alone. You know, right now, if you think about how an electric motor works, whether it be an AC motor or even a permanent magnet motor, we have to create a strong magnetic field. And by, you know, energizing those electrons and getting them to interact with each other and making that field stronger, it doesn't change the fact that even if you just got high voltage, anytime you got any electrical flow whatsoever, you've got a magnetic field that can be accessed. And right now, we got magnetic fields that extend past the electric motor because we're wasting energy trying to run that motor, when in reality, all you need is that field to be able to interact with the magnets or the coil on the opposite side, just close enough proximity in order, yeah, to cause it to rotate.
So one of the biggest problems is the insulation on the wire.
Yeah.
If we come up with a better insulation, we could build a better motor.
Exactly. You could build a motor that would last for decades You know, right now the only thing, there's only one thing that ever fails in a in the windings of the generator, it's the insulation. Once the insulation fails, then you got the equivalence of the dead short. Instead of thousands of turns for the surface area for your electron flow to build your magnetic field up, then you're down to one short turn. And so that's why the motor gets hot. So the heat is basically after time wearing down the insulation, which is what, enamel, as you said?
Enamel, yeah.
Yeah, so once that enamel wears down and begins to get little microscopic cracks in it, and the energy is able to literally jump across the gap, then you'll go from a brand new motor that has all the windings perfectly coated to a little weaker motor that a couple of windings went down, and the more windings that are getting shorted, the hotter that motor gets when you run it. And eventually it gets to the point where it overheats and ruins all of it, and you got a dead short going on.
Meltdown.
Yeah, and you can actually basically catch it on fire at some point because it's too hot.
I've seen it catch on fire.
Yeah. But, you know, if you could design, using chemistry, the perfect coating that could withstand high frequencies, high voltage, building the perfect motor generator would be it'd be a cakewalk from that point on. What do you think, buddy?
I think you're right on the ball.
So, put that message out there in the alternative energy community. Guys like Robert Murray Smith, who's good with graphene technologies and stuff like that, that you know, put that idea in their head, and together we probably stumble onto the right material to literally build the perfect insulation for, you know, copper wire, whatever, to build our motors better and more efficient. And, you know, in reality, if you design that motor to never even be able to get hot to begin with, to stay at room temperature even when it's been running all day long, if you had a cooling system on there to keep that insulation, you'd extend the lifetime of that doggone motor. Am I wrong? Buddy?
I'm kind of thinking over that. Trying to group it all together. It sounds feasible. Just if you get the right configuration, that's most of science, though. You know, it's trial and error. You got to keep on going. Nothing ever goes the way that you say.
Yeah.
Just like on a wind turbine, you can do all the formulas, and then when you finally put it all together, you're going to find out that the formulas were close.
Well, they got high voltage wiring that you can buy that you can run with a Beckett oil burner igniter, or, you know, high voltage power supplies, like even the ones in the back of a television set. It's thick insulation that you can actually hold on to that wire without getting shocked, because it's not going through the wire.
I never tried it. I don't trust it.
Well,
I'm kind of a puss when it gets to electrical shock.
Yeah, I understand.
When I worked at the television station, I remember trying to reconnect a wire down near the microwave transformer to the transmitter, and some guy behind me goosed me, and basically my back of my hand hit the high voltage and blew my hand into my chest. I took me and him all the way to the wall, and then we hit the floor, but I was the only one speaking in tongues, so...
Yeah. Well, Stephen Gibbons posted a link into a website. I'm going to bookmark this. It's called Plasti Dip. And so apparently...
That's good stuff. Plasti Dip, it's great.
That might be able to be used for an insulator.
It is. It's a great insulator. And it's easy to apply. Basically, you just... It's like if you got a pair of needle nose and the rubber's already gone off, but you open the can, you dip the handles in, pull it up, and let it dry. And it's tough, and it lasts a long time, and it really sticks great.
And I wonder what the insulation factor for electricity is with it.
Put it on your... they recommend it to put on your diagonal cutting pliers and your needle nose and everything you use for high circuitry.
Well, there
so
you go.
I trust that they did their research when they made it, or they wouldn't have put it on the market.
What do you think about this as a plausibility idea?
What's that?
You got your normal magnet wire that's already got its enamel, and then you, before you wind your coils, you insulate it with this plastic dip here.
It's possible.
Man, why not? It'll keep the, it'll keep the arc out. And you got to figure out, man, that between, you know, from the top of your coil to the bottom of your coil, that's where all the potential difference is. Basically, there's not much from one winding to the one next to it.
Yeah.
So, I'd say it'd be great if you can keep the, by doing so, you can keep the breakout from running down the side. I'd say why not? Add a little extra insulation. Varnish usually works pretty good, but Plastidip would look real cool. Because it's usually kind of like a fluorescent orange or red. And you can get it in blue,
there's
too.
There's a bunch of different colors, actually.
Black.
It comes in black and clear, green and blue.
Thomas
so you can color code things.
Thomas and I are discussing the possibility.
Hey, you guys are way in the background.
You guys got to talk a little bit louder.
All right, Thomas and I are working on the idea of doing away with the enamel or the varnish. We're going to try something with,
anodizing.
Anodizing.
Like basically using aluminum oxide to coat it. So you're literally you're building a sapphire coating.
We're going to build a sapphire coating on it so thin that it can be bent, but not without cracking.
But and even if it does get hot, it won't burn that off.
Right.
Because it's actually much more thermally stable than the stuff they're using.
I didn't know that was an insulator.
Oh, yes. If it's thin enough, it can be a semiconductor, or you can build a semiconductor on top of it. But if it's thick enough, it will completely block it as a dielectric voltage from going through until you hit enough, have enough voltage to pass through it.
So if we do it right, we could possibly build a wire that you could wind the motor to actually use 600 or 800 to 1,000 volts.
I'm still thinking too, though, that if we can find a substance that will break down polystyrene,
right.
That won't break down the enamel that's already on the wire. You should be able to recoat it with a second layer. It's not very thick because the polystyrene is the strongest dielectric material, the insulated material that you can get.
That would be perfect.
I'm not sure about this question in the chat room. Anon6435 said, what if someone could make a neodymium wire? Does the neodymium have two extra electrons in its atomic structure? Not sure about that. Or do you?
I'd have to look.
We have to look that up, but... man, that would be kind of amazing if you could.
We got the magnet.
I don't know what the resistance level is, though, with neodymium.
Yeah. That's, well, you know, like I said, there's no stupid questions out here. It's about researching, and, you know, if we don't know, we'll look into it, see if it is possible, because that's the whole key about thinking outside the box, you know?
Yeah, I had to educate a troll last night.
Yeah.
He come on there and he said something to the effect of while I was working on a ceiling fan wind turbine, he says, that's just a demonstration of how making your own wind turbine is a waste of time and a lot of money. And, you know, I just basically had to educate him. You know, first I took care of the problem that, you know, yeah, $40, gee, big waste of time. And that we can put it out there. And then I went into, you know, about intelligence, because he had one of them elite names, like Mayweather, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, I was kind of shocked that he put such a negative comment. A negative comment, which is basically not a comment, it was criticism. Negative criticism. Now, here's my thoughts. If you got something negative to say that is not productive at all, it is better for you to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't take much brain cells, it doesn't take much brain energy or thought to do a criticizing negative comment.
Right.
But what it does, it makes that person look stupid because nobody really wanted to hear it to begin with. And it lets them know that you are a negative person and they don't want to be around you. Here's the other side of the coin. If you're out there to help people and you give what is called constructive criticism, it takes more thought, more caring, and it shines light instead of darkness and gloom. So if you want to be thought smart, even if you're a dummy, if you think a while, you can actually think of something intelligent that helps the person, and that is called constructive criticism. I've seen where I've spent over an hour answering a single comment and only had maybe 8-9 lines. But you know what? The person thanked me, and a lot of times I cured the problem on their experiment. It's not how many brain cells you have working, it's how much you use them.
Yeah.
That's my point.
And the two answer, A96435, your question about doesn't neodymium have two extra electrons in its atomic structure? The answer is yes. We just looked that up. And so while I'm sitting here thinking about your concept, I'm thinking, you know, if one loosely coupled electron in the copper wire could produce a strong magnetic field, then two seems to me would double that up. What do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I'd say so. Extra electrons will flow more freely. It's a wonderful thing. I think that's why they use neodymium for the magnets. Somehow, internally, I think there is always an electronic flow because the magnet is its counterpart.
Well,
the other thing is, I thought copper had like 8 valence electrons. Is that correct?
I'm getting ready to go look at that copper for the resistivity. I'll look at that too. But I'm not sure it had
29 electrons, and the last one's loosely coupled.
Oh, okay. So the two loosely coupled is what we're getting at.
Yeah.
I'd say heck yeah. That's almost like a superconductor, I'd have to believe. And I know that's a Thomas question anyway.
Well,
he's the guy into the chemistry and knows all that stuff well.
He's working out the formula right now.
It's worth further research. But
might be a little expensive, and I know neodymium is very unstable.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long the wires would last. I would not put them where they'd flex or anything, and you definitely have to cover them.
I have this theory about magnetic, permanent magnets, rare earth magnets, that even though when you're looking at it, you physically can't see any motion going on in that magnet. You know, you put magnet paper over the top of it, and you can actually see the lines of flux using the magnet paper, or even ferrofluid for that matter. But I believe that if you could actually look down far enough into, you know, say, the microscopic level of what's actually occurring down there, that there's actually, you know, motion going on in that magnet, you know. They say perpetual motion's not possible, but if you look at a ceramic or a rare earth magnet or even a neodymium magnet, there's something occurring in there that unless you overheat that magnet or do something to cause it to demagnetize itself, it'll sit there and hold that field for years, man.
Right. One guy was trying to tell me that magnets are permanent forever. And I said, oh, no. They lose their flux. Matter of fact, even in the slot cars, you'll find people zapping their magnets to re-strengthen them.
Yeah.
Right. The material just gets disorganized, and the magnetic property of the individual element starts fighting against itself, canceling itself out.
A96435 says, according to John Searle, removing these two electrons does not alter the structure of the neodymium. He says, thanks. But, you know...
Hey, yeah, there's one electron at the end with copper. There's two with neodymium. The resistivity, though, is like 600 and something nanohms per meter with neodymium. With copper, it's only like 16.78. So you're looking at a massive amount of resistance in the neodymium that you're not going to have in the copper.
Well, imagine if you could find the actual frequency range of that magnetic flux that's on any of these magnets, and you could actually cause that magnetic flux to basically fluctuate. You know,
well, something else that's a misnomer too. Neodymium is not; it can't be made into a permanent magnet by itself.
Right.
Neodymium only accounts for 2 out of 17, or is it 18 atoms in the structure for a neodymium magnet. The majority of it is iron. The neodymium is a paramagnetic material that transmits magnetic energy like paperclips do when you stick a magnet to them. You can get a you can magnetize a paperclip so it'll pick up another paperclip.
Yeah.
It transmits through that way, but it won't, like the paperclip, because it's made out of steel, you could actually magnetize that and it'll hold some of the magnetic field later. The neodymium won't do that. And then the other element that's in that magnet is boron. And boron is actually diamagnetic. It's actually fighting the magnetic field with a mirrored image of the magnetic field.
Cool.
Like taking a north field and a north field and basing them into each other, canceling each other out. So with there being two neodymium, one boron, and the rest of it being iron, I'm guessing that what happens is the crystals that form are basically a boron atom in the center of a group of iron atoms, and then they're capped off with a neodymium atom on the end of each of those crystals. And then you just have to get those crystals lined up so that that energy that's being transmitted and focused by from the iron through the neodymium is all going the same direction.
You say, what about...
I don't know how that would affect make coils out of neodymium, but...
You say, what about massive high voltage with no amps?
Static.
We've been talking about, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Next to no amps. The only way you're going to get down to where you have no amps at all is if you're literally not disconnecting the electrons from the atom. You're just shaking them back and forth so that they, like, they're rocking back and forth and they're affecting the other atoms.
Same as an alternating current.
In a line. Right, but you have to hit the frequency of that atom so that basically your voltage is being pushed and pulled so rapidly between positive and negative polarity that it doesn't have time to disconnect an electron from the atom.
Oh, check this out. Stephen Gibbons said neodymium wire, 200 mm GBP, looks like 1,769 euro. Don't know how much that is, but it sounds a lot.
Yeah, I would say euros are worth more than a dollar, so.
So.
Add about another 25%, 25 to 30% more.
Question here. Basically, the lack of electron flow would be kind of similar to resistance. But if you double a copper wire, which is much cheaper, you've done the same thing.
Right. Or you just put more surface area in the copper by baking it in a tube.
Yeah.
Which is what they used to do with telephone lines.
Here was one of my thoughts in the past as far as building like a Tesla coil that I wanted to be able to handle more amps. Two wires in hand and lay them down. Say your coil form is vertical like a regular Tesla coil is. So while I'm winding these wires, one is on the inside and one is on the outside. Kind of you're winding two layers at the same time, but they're flat. They're always level with each other, and they go around like that. Now I know it would be a little harder feat, would take a while to do, but I think it would actually be more feasible, and you'd still get the same amount of windings, and so you'd still get the same voltage, but you'd be able to handle the amps without burning your wire up.
Well, so, wasn't it a friend of yours down in Florida that started experimenting with that on wind turbines he was building? And he was calling it ribbon wire because he was actually taking round wire and running it through a roller and flattening it, but it had more surface area for the same diameter wire?
Right.
Wait, aren't you trying to generate a magnetic field from the wire by running electricity
yeah.
through it? What about
you guys got to speak up though, man.
What about coating the copper with neodymium so we can do the same thing that we were doing, well, I've just mentioned that we were doing with the iron to intensify the transmission of the magnetic field from the electron flow through the neodymium and out into whatever it is. So it doesn't actually have to be on the copper. It can be coated on the insulator on the outside of the copper.
Holy cow.
Can we take bare copper wire and roll it out so it'll actually go in the spiral and then basically electroplate neodymium on there?
Yes.
Neodymium
right
electroplatable?
One side. And face that into wherever the other magnet is that you're trying to interfere with your magnetic field to, say, force it to turn around.
That's brilliant, guys. It's definitely worth further research. We're down to it. It's... I'm actually going to run over here a second. But, folks, all these ideas that we're talking about are just going to be ideas until we put them in action. That's why the three of us have gathered here, and we're actually going to do some deals and get some videos and stuff out of it, and hopefully some actual working prototypes for things. Once we show you these things, take these ideas and run with them, and just keep the ball rolling. If you're a researcher out there and you're into alternative energy and you want to contribute by, sharing ideas or whatever, that's what it's all about. So that's our game plan. That's what that's the direction that we're going in on the Mad Science and Shazizz Radio. You can join in on the chat room. You can join in on the Skype. Whenever Skype ain't failing, we're going to hopefully resolve that pretty quick. Duct tape and baling wire, but we're doing it with recycled, limited budgets, and we can do even better if we can pull resources and us, the average Joe, actually use everything we've learned, all the technologies and the simple science and simple physics that we already know work. We use the ones we want and bypass the ones we don't. We will use our equipment in the most efficient manner, including things like the internal combustion engine. If you can just sit back and visualize how much wasted energy is in just that piece of equipment alone, you'd be amazed at what you could do with that. So with that said, one last comment in the chat room. Stephen Gibbons said, what about aluminum or silver, but coating on the aluminum breaks, there is a risk of fire. Oh, we don't need fire. All right, but it's still not a bad idea. It still gives us something to contemplate. So folks, you've been listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. I hope we've been a benefit to you. If you like the podcast, share them around. Tell everybody about Shazizz Radio. Come out quickly. Here and join us. What?
Send me the lines. Any clever lines of Mad Science that you would like to see in the song and subjects, and I'll work from there.
Yeah, help Muddy write the song.
Yes, that would be great.
I will change the words. I will change pretty much everything, but I'll put it together where it works.
All right, so post your ideas and comments in the chat room down there and catch up with us on Facebook, YouTube, and all the other social medias out there. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.